We will continue our series on Leviticus. Last time we had Leviticus 9. It was a very important point in the history of Israel and the worship of Israel. The first time the people see the glory of God in this scene, and now the priests can come in. But then in chapter 10, you'll find the title in the notes that you got, a catastrophe in the sanctuary. A catastrophe took place. So I will read 3 verses only from Leviticus 10, and we will start. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Let's pray. Our great, holy Lord of heaven, we confess that many times we do not recognize how holy you are, how great you are, and we take things lightly. Lord, we pray that we'd understand the privilege that we have, that we can approach close to you in the blood of Jesus Christ, because we know that in ourselves we are sinners. We should not come close, but in the name of this great high priest, we have boldness to come close, knowing that the fire will not consume us. Lord, as we come to your word, we pray that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things in them. Amen. If you remember, last time we talked about the glorious encounter in Leviticus 9. God's people can come now, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle and went outside. They were not consumed. And this was in contrast to what we saw in Exodus 40. In Exodus 40, when the glory of God came on the tabernacle, Moses were not able to enter. Moses was not able to enter. But now, Moses and Aaron, they entered and they came back, and they bring peace to the people, and the people shouted out of joy. But this glorious encounter in chapter 9 shows us that now there is a kind of a new possibility to come closer to God. And then chapter 10 reminds us that this new possibility of being in God's presence, that God is in the midst of his people, brings also with it, or has opened the door to, a great threat for anyone who messes up with the way the Lord have provided. If you underestimate the laws of God in terms of how you approach him, how you come close to him, this is deadly. The whole scene in Leviticus, the whole Leviticus system in the tabernacle and the priesthood, and this is the altar, for this to exist, for the people around it, 3 tribes in each direction, and now people can come close. Yes, this is a bridge to come to God, but you cannot underestimate what's happening. You cannot just do it on how or according to your own views or as you wish. Because the whole system, the whole sacrificial system, the whole priesthood system was made to show the people how holy God is and how sinful they are, and they just can't come that simple. There must be a price, and there must be a way that the Lord would provide for them to approach. So in chapter 10, we see 2 out of 4 priests. They didn't follow God's way or God's rules in terms of worship or in terms of how to approach him, how to come close to him. And they are consumed. They are consumed. And then the chapters following from chapter 11 to 15, will teach us the importance of distinction between the clean and the unclean, the pure and impure. So why did they die? Why did these priests die? Because they did something, they came closer to the Holy One, not counting that they are impure. They didn't come in the right way. And so when this distinction between the holy and unholy, the pure and impure, is compromised, God did not tolerate it. And that's why, again, chapters 11 to 15, they will keep teaching us, as we will see, a clear distinction must be made between the clean and the unclean. But now let's go to Nadab and Abihu and to understand particularly what was their sin. It says here that they brought their censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon, and they offered strange fire before the Lord. And the question is, what does this mean? What is the strange fire? Commentators differ. What does it mean, that strange fire? Some said that they should have brought fire from the altar, to use from the altar, and they did not. They brought fire from outside. That's why it's called strange fire. Others said it seems that they didn't use the kinds of incense that was prescribed in Exodus. But there's another, a third view, an important view. It says that they came to the Lord while they were drunk. They came to the tent while they were drunk. And why do they say this? Because in verse 9, God said to Moses, tell Aaron this. He told Aaron directly, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. So it seems that they came in drunk. And maybe because they were drunk, they didn't take heed to the prescriptions that the Lord gave. These are all options, strong options, but I would say there's another reason, which was the reason that they were consumed, is that they made something wrong in their worship or in their role as priests, which is they tried to approach the Holy of Holies. And you may ask, why do you say this? How did you get this from? Why do you claim that they tried to come into the Holy of Holies? And that's why they were consumed. The reason is that Moses, or the book of Leviticus, connects what's happening in Leviticus 10 with Leviticus 16. If you open Leviticus 16, the famous chapter on the Day of the Atonement, this is the context in which the Day of the Atonement was prescribed or was explained, what should happen there. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. So it seems, why would he bring this here? It seems that they tried to go into the Holy of Holies and they died. And that's why he's showing him the Holy of Holies will be approached only on this day through this means, through the Day of the Atonement, through this way of sacrifices. And the idea here that they should obey God's command as they are. If you remember, the Lord said only one day in the year, the high priest, not all the priests, would come to the Holy of Holies with certain sacrifice, lest he dies. And it seems that Nadab and Abihu did not respect this, or they just assumed, because now they are priests, now the tabernacle is in place, because the Lord brought fire and accepted the sacrifice in chapter 9, we can just come close to the throne of grace. We can just come close to the Holy of Holies. And the Lord said, in those who are close to me, I will show my glory. I will show my glory. It's amazing how the Lord showed his glory when he devoured these men and when he devoured the sacrifices in chapter 9. In chapter 9, God devoured the sacrifices, and it was a great time of joy for the people. But in chapter 10, the Lord said the same words. He consumed them. His fire consumed them, and he was glorified in the eyes of the people. See again verse 3 from chapter 10. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is what the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. So the fire that consumed the sacrifice as an expression of God's acceptance and support in chapter 9 is the same fire that devoured Nadab and Abihu as an expression of God's judgment. And while in chapter 9 the people shouted out of joy, you see here what Aaron did. He held his peace. Literally it means his mouth was shut. He couldn't argue back. But then this chapter paved the way for the following chapters. Because what was the issue? It was a kind of a compromise between the clean and the unclean. The holy and the unholy. There's a compromise going on. And so in the beginning of chapter 10 and then from 11 to 15, we will have instructions on what does it mean to distinguish for the priest between the clean and unclean, for the holy and unholy. Not only for the priest, but all the people of Israel. So if you read from 11 to 15, you will read about when someone is clean and when someone is unclean. So if someone is bleeding, he's unclean. He can't come close to God. He can't worship. If someone has leprosy, can't come. He's unclean. Certain animals are clean and certain animals are unclean. All this flows out of this chapter. And if we go further in the chapter, this is what the Lord is telling. This would be the work of the priests. Verse 9, we said that we read 9. Let's read 9 and 10. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statue for you or forever throughout your generations. And that ye may put difference, see, you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that he may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. So when these men profaned the sanctuary, when they as unclean come closer to a place where they should not, this was the situation, the circumstance through which the Lord is teaching them more regulations. What does it mean to be holy or clean or unclean? And when they did this, they profaned the tabernacle. They profane the tabernacle. So the tabernacle needs to be cleansed because of what they have done. When they tried to come in, they died, and then now there is death there, and someone has to go and bring them up, and death contaminates the place. They must be removed. But not only this, this place must be sanctified again. And so this is happening in chapter 10. In chapter 16, we read about the Day of the Atonement. And in the Day of the Atonement, we read how this whole sanctuary will be cleansed, will be sanctified. So it is not the only the people will be sanctified. All the furniture, all the tabernacle will be sanctified because it has been contaminated by the sin of the people. These two chapters should be just connected together. But then we have 11 to 15 as a kind of a parenthesis. Why? To explain what is it about, or how do we differentiate, distinguish between the clean and unclean. Another thing in the Day of the Atonement, is clear. We will see the whole tabernacle will be cleansed, but at the same time, the high priest, we will learn in this day that only the high priest can come closer, not the other priests. So chapter 16 must always be read in light of chapter 10. The Day of the Atonement must be read in chapter 10. That false worship took place, people approached that they should not, they contaminated the place. The place must be cleansed, and only the high priest can come in. But then you may say, he said here in verse 10, in Leviticus 10, they shall put the difference between the holy and unholy. And not only the holy and unholy, the unclean and clean. And you may say, are these synonyms? Are these synonyms? No, they are not. Because according to what you have seen here, we will see three categories that the Lord is showing them the difference between them. And what are these three categories? There are some things which are holy. And others, we call them common. And among the common, within the common, there are things which are clean and things which are unclean. This is what the Lord will teach them in the coming chapters. So everything that is holy, this can be sacrificed to the Lord. You can come closer to the Lord. Not the common. You may be clean, but not holy. So you can come closer. I'll give you an example. There is a difference between the priests, the Israelites, and the Gentiles. Right? The priests, they are holy. They can come close. And the high priest only can come even closer. And then the Israelites, they are clean, but they are not holy in a sense. They can come to the tabernacle inside, but they are clean. If one of the Israelites, the Levite or from Aaron's family, would be anointed, he would become a priest, and then he's holy. The Gentiles are unclean. They can't even come inside here. And these three levels, they correspond the tabernacle. The priest only can come here, and the high priest only in this place. The Israelites can come up to this area. The Gentiles only here. They can't come closer. And the Lord is teaching them. This is how serious the issue is. You can't just come closer. And then when he came, when he gave them, for instance, the rules for food, the same circles apply. There are some foods which are holy, animals holy. Some animals are common, clean, but not holy. And some unholy. I will not go into the details, but I'll give you another example. Everything that can be sacrificed, like the bulls, the sheep, the goats, they can be holy. There are other things which are clean, but cannot be sacrificed, like the deer. The deer was a clean animal. You can eat a deer, but you cannot sacrifice it. It's different. And there are some animals, like the swines. You can't even eat them. And what is this all about? Again, the Lord is showing them, in a sense, what you eat represents you. And so the Gentiles, they're eating the swines. We need to distinguish between Israel and the Gentiles, and between the priests and Israel. He's showing them this distinctions to show them his holiness, the heinousness of sin, that he has called them to a certain job. Would a Gentile become clean? Yes, he can become clean. If a Gentile repented and be circumcised, he can become clean. And these distinctions will stay throughout the Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament. Till one day it will be abolished. Do you remember when? Can anyone guess? When these rules were abolished, especially when it comes with the animals too and the food? No, after that, with Peter in Acts 10, right? You remember in Acts 10? In Acts 10, how did the Lord teach Peter that the Gentiles and the Israelites now are the same before the Lord? They can all come through the high priest. And this distinction is open, and the door up to the Holy of Holies is open to Christ. How did he teach Peter that you can go to Cornelius and preach the gospel and bring them to the church? How do you remember how did he teach him this? Through a dream. And what was the dream all about? It was about some animals, some food that they were not allowed to eat. And he said, slaughter and eat. And then Peter said, no, I can't do this. He said, Peter, this is abolished now. Slaughter and eat. They can come closer. And what is the lesson here? The lesson is, the Lord was teaching us through shadows that there must be a great price that we can enter up to this place, to the Holy of Holies. And only when Christ came and removed, the veil was torn from upside, from up to down, right? And the door has been opened through this. Because without the work of Christ, anyone who would think that he can approach to God, what will happen to him? Consumed, like Nadab and Abihu. And so these are the rules that the Lord is bringing to Israel to teach them what does it mean that he is holy, and they are in trouble, and only through the means that he has provided that they can come close. So from chapter 11 to 15 we will see rules that speak about the clean and unclean. And then from 17 to 27 to the end of the book, we will see rules that speak about the holy and the profane or the unholy. And this summarizes the whole book of Leviticus. And the heart of it, as we said, is the day of the atonement, on which day that the high priest can come up to the Holy of Holies and come back without being consumed, because this is the way that the Lord has provided. Next time, we'll speak especially about what's happening on the day of the atonement. Any question about this scene? Yes. Yes. I think I can make this application from this text as well. Because what is the regulative principle of worship? That you only worship God according to the way that he said. And this is the principle. And the principle applies here as well. Because they did not worship him as the Lord commanded. This is the principle. But the application of the principle at that time is that what was the way that only the high priest would come to the Holy of Holies at that day? And they did not do this. This was the instruction then. Right? We cannot apply it as it is in our life now. But the principle was that they tried to approach God in other ways, in a way that he did not prescribe. And I would say the heart of it, you cannot approach God unless through the high priest and the sacrifice that he has provided. So anyone who will try to approach God or try to claim that he is worshiping God apart from Christ will be consumed. There is no way. So if you ask me what would be another application of this text today, I would say Christ is the only way. If anyone tried to think that there is other way to Christ, as if he is saying there was another way to come close to the Holy of Holies, other than the way that the Lord has provided. And if people are saying this, they are messing with the holiness of God. They don't understand how holy God is and how sinful man is. And so they will be consumed. But again, I can use it for the regulative principle of worship, that you did not follow God's way of approaching him, of worship. Yes. But I just want to explain what was the context. How did this happen? In fact, when we think of the Day of the Atonement, if you ask me, did God plan the Day of the Atonement to be given, the instruction for the Day of the Atonement to be given to Israel? I would say, oh, of course. But what was the context? What was the historical circumstances through which the Lord gave the instruction of the Day of the Atonement? You know what? It was Nadab and Abihu. And what happened in Leviticus 10? So what happened in Leviticus 10 was the circumstances through which the Day of the Atonement was given. It's like the Passover. Israel continued to celebrate the Passover again and again. But what was the circumstances through which the Passover regulation was given? It was it begins that Joseph went to Egypt, right? And they were enslaved in Egypt. And then the Lord gave the 10 plagues through which they will get out of Egypt. And the 10th one would be the Passover lamb, which would refer to Christ. So God in his providence, in his decree, is going to give the Passover regulation, is going to give the Day of the Atonement. But what was the circumstances for this to happen in the Passover? The hardening of Pharaoh's heart. For the Day of the Atonement, the sin of Nadab and Abihu. And this is where the Lord gave the Day of the Atonement. The thing is, I don't want us to read these rules or these chapters that speaks great theological truth apart from what was happening then. It will give us deeper understanding of even the principles. It's a great question. Any other questions? Yes, Alec. I would be greatly concerned about that, because he gave us the high priest, which is Jesus Christ, but he also gave us his word, which is the means through which we worship him. So if we don't follow the word as we worship him through the high priest, the only alternative is that we will invent something from our point of view. And if we leave it to ourselves, not to the word of God, many questions will be addressed here. First of all, if this is necessary, if this is good for God's people, why didn't God give it to us? He could have given it to us. And then we are questioning the sufficiency of the revelation. This is the way that you can approach me. This is the way that you can come to me, through the word, or through what I said in the word. So there's some flexibility, for instance, in terms of how often do we worship on the Lord's Day? 2 times, 3 times, 5 times? At 10 a.m., at 7 a.m., at 8 a.m., the word doesn't tell us what to do. But in terms of what to read, what to preach from, even what to sing, the word tells us how to do this, what to do. And it's always through Christ. But if we just, on the other hand, if we just hold to the shape, to the liturgy, if I may say, without the heart of it, so if the worship is not Christ-centered, we're missing the whole thing. And this is what happened to Israel later on. What did Israel do? Some of them, only the high priest would get in. They would do according to what the Lord has said, but no heart. It was not from the heart. And what the Lord said, I hate your worship. In Isaiah 1, I abhor this worship. Because it comes from sinful people. They're just making the motions of worship without the heart of it. And here, the heart of it, I would say, was the high priest only can come through the sacrifice. I know this is a big question about worship. But let's go back to Leviticus, if anyone has a question about Leviticus. Okay, great. Next time, I think, will be the last time, and we'll study in more details what's happening in the Day of the Atonement, which is the heart. It's the heart of the worship of Israel. If you remember, in the Pentateuch, the whole Pentateuch revolves around this day, where the closest approach to the presence of God will take place. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege even to call you Father, because we were the unclean, the Gentiles, those who were without God in the world, the foreigners for all the promises of Israel. But we thank you because you are the one who reconciled us to yourself and to your people. You have brought us close, very close, up to the Holy of Holies, where Nadab and Abihu were consumed by your holy fire. We shall not be consumed, not because of our righteousness, not because of anything that is in us, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege, O Lord, that we can come back to the throne of grace and ask with boldness for grace and mercy. As we, Lord, going home today, give us to meditate on your word and to think of what you have done to us. Prepare our hearts as we come to worship this evening again, O Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.